This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And New Hampshire had a great honor that happened to us on Saturday evening. We are going to be joined with Miss America's brand new outstanding teen, Allie Nault. Allie, welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you guys today.
Yes, I mean, Allie, for listeners that don't know, she's a close family friend, and my son is down there with the New Hampshire crew that has been supporting you for the past week. So tell us how your week has been.
My week has been honestly unforgettable. I was lucky enough to be crowned Miss America's Outstanding Teen, and I was representing New Hampshire out there, and honestly, Team New Hampshire had these huge light-up signs with each individual letter of New Hampshire spelled out. So I was up on stage watching, all the letters popping up on stage and in the audience, and it was just absolutely unforgettable. And just to be able to be out there with so many people who supported me, I can't thank them enough.
Well, tell us a little bit about the organization that people, for people out there that don't know a whole lot about it.
Yeah, of course. So the Miss America organization is actually a nonprofit organization that is the number one provider of scholarships for women. So it's an amazing opportunity. This weekend alone, I was offered, when I won, $25,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And that goes right to college. And college is so expensive. And it's just such an amazing, opportunity to be able to be given this much amount of money. But in addition, I'm also awarded with $22 million of in-kind scholarships that I can use anywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
So I can go and have, a scholarship at University of Alabama or Hopkins School for All Women down south. It's just, there are just so many opportunities that have been handed to me because of this, and I'm just extremely thankful.
Now, what is it that you may want to go into? Because you have one more year of high school, correct?
That's right. I'm actually a senior, and I'm doing all online college classes because I wanted to be able to make a difference this year as Miss New Hampshire's Outstanding Teen, but now I guess it's going to be as Miss America's Outstanding Teen. So I'm looking into going into business and hospitality so I can own my own fast food franchise. So I'm really hoping that one day I'll be able to own a Chick-fil-A. Weird fun fact about me, but we'll see if we can make that happen.
Oh, my. It's funny because Tyler was texting me about Chick-fil-A the other day.
Chick-fil-A is the number one franchise. It's the number one franchise. Chick-fil-A is number two is Chipotle. So it looks as though you've made certainly you might as well go for the top. Why start with you at the bottom?
Exactly.
Now, let listeners know also what was your platform, Allie?
And my platform is Making Sense, Becoming Financially Responsible. And I teach kids all about the importance of saving money and opening up bank accounts. I hand out coin savers that hold $5 worth of quarters. And I tell kids, fill this up, open up a savings account, and start saving at a young age. I also work with Jumpstart and See You for Reality, which are local charities that work with kids on saving money. And I was actually awarded the Teens in Action Award for all my work that I've done with my platform.
So what is that all about, the Teens in Action Award?
So the Teens in Action is, we have a platform. It's a community service-based project. And they have a special award for the person who's done the most with their platform out at Miss America's Outstanding Teen. So I had a private interview with five other ladies who were finalists for this award. And after my six-minute interview, they were still trying to ask me more questions, even though they got cut off. And I was lucky enough to have won the award.
Wow. Yes. New Hampshire is just, we are just so proud of you. You are just an amazing young lady.
Thank you so much. I am honestly so happy that I was able to represent the great state of New Hampshire. I could not imagine representing any other state out at Miss America's Outstanding Team. This is my home state, and I'm just so proud to call it my home.
Oh, well, good for you. Now, what is your, you must have like a favorite memory of the week, because this must have been like a crazy roller coaster week for you.
Yes, there have been so many unforgettable memories, but most of them happened backstage with the other contestants. I absolutely fell in love with my roommate, who was from Arizona. Her name was Jessie. She was honestly the sweetest girl I've ever met. But my favorite, all-time favorite moment that I will always remember is when we went to Dave & Buster's. Because we have a few outings, and one of them was we went to Dave & Buster's, which was pretty fun. We had a lot of greasy food that made us feel kind of sick. And we ended up all making a trip to the bathroom together. And that was one of our first nights we were there.
Oh,
and I must say, we
gosh.
All bonded. So it's kind of embarrassing to look back at it, but it was honestly so funny because everyone was feeling sick. No one wanted to say anything. We're all like, I need to go to the bathroom. And we all just kind of, we bonded. We'll put it that way. We bonded.
All right. So I take it you're not going to be buying any Dave & Buster's franchises in the future.
You know, the food was really good. It just didn't sit well after all the salads we had that week.
That is too funny.
Because what happens is we compete at a alternate location that doesn't have, you know, restaurant or a big kitchen.
Right.
So we have what are called bag dinners, and it can be anywhere from a salad to a sandwich. And there's no in between. Every single night we had a potato salad, and I do not want to see potato salad ever again. So when we went to Dave & Buster's, I feel like the food was great. It was just we weren't accustomed to, you know,
right.
eating greasy food after having a salad every single night for dinner.
Oh, my goodness.
So it tasted so good, though. It was worth it.
Now, this has been a big journey for you, and of course you didn't do it alone. Is there anybody specific that you want to thank?
Yes, I would like to thank the whole entire board of directors at Miss New Hampshire, our executive director for team, Patty LaMontagne, also my sponsors who helped me get there, because this can be really expensive, and I was lucky enough to have my gown sponsored, so I only had to pay $200. So huge thank you to Regalia Magnificent Apparel in Orlando, Florida. I would also like to thank Tagate Designs for my amazing talent costume. I did a Lady Gaga medley, and the costume was a sparkly white and red jumpsuit, and it was honestly perfect. And everywhere from earrings to jewelry, everything was given to me, and I'm extremely thankful for that. So thank you to everyone.
Oh, that is so nice. Now, do you have any new sponsors?
Yes, I do. I was just about to say that. I am still going to be working with Regalia Magnificent Apparel in Orlando and Tagate for talent and also a fun outfit to wear at the Show Me Your Shoes Parade down in Atlantic City when I go to Miss America in September to support and see who my new bigger sister will be. But I would also like to thank, I just got actually a ring and a Bulova watch. And also an origami owl necklace. And I'm just getting showered with so many gifts and so many people who are just supporting me. And I am so excited for this year to be spent with my new Miss America's outstanding team board and family. They are all truly inspirational and amazing.
My goodness. It sounds like you're going to have a pretty busy year. What is in store this year? Like what is your schedule like? Are you going to be like, traveling a lot? And what is it like?
I'm going to have a 3-month summer tour where I attend many local pageants and state pageants for all across the United States. Maybe I could go to Hawaii or else I could go to Montana. I have no idea what states I'm going to be attending yet and supporting their state titles, but I'm extremely excited to find out. But I for sure know that I'm going to expand my platform and hopefully with the American Bankers Association be able to teach more kids about saving money and the importance of being fiscally responsible.
Well, good for you. Pass some of that along to my son.
I'm just teasing.
You know, Allie, we are, we're so proud, a little old New Hampshire up here, New Hampshire, finally has the opportunity to be represented at a national level. And all I can say is you are just the absolute perfect girl and you are just going to rock it out this year. I'm anxious to see what you have coming.
Thank you so much, Carol. Thank you.
All right. And you guys will be home on...
I can't wait to see you when I get home.
I know. I can't wait to see you, too. And you guys will be home on Thursday, right, I think?
Yep, Thursday.
All right. Sounds
good.
So
we'll have to come by the studio.
For sure, for sure. Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you, you too.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right. Miss America Outstanding Teen.
So well spoken, no surprise there. Because you have a little bit of an insight that you've known her for a while, so
yep.
This is no surprise to you. Yep. But this is a first that a lot of people are hearing of her.
Yeah, and it's so exciting.
I love the money aspect of it, because I think not enough parents do. You know, I mean, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I'll tell you two things that I did with my daughter, who is now 35, and financially she's in good shape. She, first of all, I got a magazine subscription to her. It used to be put out by Consumer Reports called Zillions. They don't make it anymore, but it was a magazine for kids and understanding money at their level. And the second thing I did is opened a bank account, and every time that she put, you know, some babysitting money in, I would match it. So it helped her understand that, you know, hey, I can double my money here. So
I want to
save money. Yeah. So we'd go to the bank every couple of weeks. And, you know, I think that was part of what helped her. And it sounds like, I mean, I've never heard this platform before.
I know.
I'm sure it's been done before. But I'm so glad that as a really young person, a teenager, that some young girls may look up to her and say, yeah, I need to listen to what Allie is saying about saving money. Because I think a lot of kids don't have a clue. Hey, guess what? A lot of parents don't have a clue either.
That's true. So that's true, unfortunately.
Very sad, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're going to go on break.
Where are we at here?
A little bit?
We've got a few minutes until we hear from
Steve.
From Steve Freeman, of course, from the Manchester Food Co-op, who will be joining us.
Well, you know what? There's a couple of events this week. Mm-hmm. Starting on Wednesday at 3 o'clock is the opening ceremony for Rafting for Wishes for Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. They will be up in Center Harbor, correct? You know, my flyer here.
Yeah, on Winnipesaukee.
Winnipesaukee. Mm-hmm. At Heskey Park. There we go. Meredith, New Hampshire. There we go. It starts Wednesday, and there will be rafting on the river for, is it 44 hours, right?
About that.
44
yeah, it's
hours
almost two full days.
On the raft.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
I hope the weather holds out for them.
I know. I hope so.
Because you don't want to be out there during a lightning storm.
My gosh.
But they're close enough to shore. They can get back quickly.
Right.
They're safe. Everything's cool.
Yeah. So that's happening this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, this is a little early maybe to be mentioning it, but Friday, August 14th is the 10th annual radio-a-thon for the Boys and Girls Club of Concord. And that day, all shows will be live at
Banks
Chevrolet.
Banks Chevrolet Cadillac. Is it both those? In any event, it will be at Banks.
Yes, it'll be at Banks in Concord.
And I'm looking forward to that because Food for Thought will be broadcasting live there.
Should be fun.
On that day, and we're basically throwing out the usual format and just talking about the Boys and Girls Club, which is a program of a lot of after-school opportunities and during-the-day things, too, for kids that aren't in school or parents need a little help, you know, with some daycare type of situations with where our learning component is in there. So it's a wonderful organization.
Yeah, they help with homework
after
school and do all kinds of stuff
They really do. I think one of the most worthy organizations out there. So I'm so glad the Pulse is doing that.
Yeah.
An entire day of broadcasting locally dedicated to them.
Yeah. And I know the Manchester Boys and Girls Club, Adam Sandler has a lot to do with that.
He does.
Yeah, he gives a lot of money to the Manchester Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
He went there when he was younger.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, that's very cool.
Yes.
So I could point out to who we have here for the rest of the week, just so folks
definitely
know what's coming up on Food for Thought. At 12:30 tomorrow is Joan O'Connor. Looking forward to this. She is in charge of the Tilden Winter Farmers Market, but they will no longer have a home.
I know.
This coming winter, because the owners of the building will be leasing it out to another paying customer. So she is in search of a big enough spot with a little bit of heating that can accommodate maybe 100 farmers slash vendors.
100 vendors. Yeah.
And she would love to have it in Manchester. Talked to Mayor Gatsis briefly about it last Thursday when he was
cool
on the air. And he said he'd be happy to hear what they are proposing. I mean, he didn't have any offer of any sort, but he is interested. I mean, why wouldn't you want that organization
coming
here
down here? Oh my gosh.
So we'll talk to Joan about that tomorrow and the challenges of running a winter market. I mean, she's, I think, running the biggest market in the state. I'm sure that there aren't many winter farmers markets, but even if you were to take those numbers as a summer market, I bet it would be the biggest in the state.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know, We can ask her.
I mean, they have to hire a policeman out there just to man the traffic.
Well, that's it. And yeah. it's away from the main population centers of the state. Manchester, Nashua, Concord, all to the south.
Yeah.
So hats off to Joan and all the work she does. So we got to find or help her find a home. Tomorrow we'll talk briefly to Ruth Zachs, which is she's with the Chili Fest organization, the Rotary up in Henniker. Which happens
at
Fire on the Mountain. I know the Red Arrow will have a chili entry in the professional category, but they're running a little short this year on home cook entries. There's usually maybe three dozen, and I don't think they have that quite that many yet, or they're behind what they normally should be because it's 3 weeks away from yesterday. I'll be one of the judges and also probably have a booth selling some cookies and pastries and things. So we'll talk to Ruth Zachs to get the word out there for you home chili cooks. Don't be shy. Make a batch and bring it. Because you could,
it's so much fun.
There is money to be won, by the way, besides the honor of being the top chili.
And it's fun.
Make-A-Wish, of course. We'll talk more about the big rafting event on Wednesday. Donna's Delights, of course, from Delaware. George Lawrence, your dad. As we round out the week on Thursday, Chef Patrick will be co-hosting. Carol will be away. And we've got Michael Hopley-Pierce of the Tap Handle Show talking all about beer. Linda Thompson-Ditch, our blogger from Kansas. And on Friday, it'll be Comedy Cold Cuts. The topic this week of the comedy routines is camping.
Ooh, oh, my gosh, that must be so. Yeah, that's going to be hilarious.
I have to say, it was one of the easier ones to find some good routine. Some of the other topics are a little more difficult. This one put it together quickly.
That is perfect.
Yeah, I think this is the right time of the year for that.
Oh, my gosh.
Our friend Larry Cultrera, who is the diner expert and has written two books, one on Massachusetts diners and one recently released about New Hampshire diners, will talk about diners.
Fun.
I'm sorry that you'll miss him. You'll be away that day, along with your good friend and ours, Kevin Cornish, of Casey's Rip Shack will be in the house as well. We'll be broadcasting live, street level, up in front of the Beacon Building on Elm Street, right there on the sidewalk with the brand new cart, and we'll be having fun. So lots to do this week.
There is a packed week.
Indeed.
And, you know, we did mention Brittany's birthday upstairs, and you know what I forgot to say? Do you know whose birthday was yesterday? A really important birthday.
Really?
My son, Tyler,
it was.
21.
21. And my young
21.
Nephew, who you met that one day that came in from Michigan, turned 17 yesterday. So August 2nd, a popular birthday, apparently.
So.
Well, happy birthday, Tyler.
I know. 21. That's my baby. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting old. Yikes.
How is that possible?
I know, huh? I don't know. All right. We're going to go on a short break. And he is in the green room. We have Steve Freeman with his segment, Wake the Health Up America. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Which happens on occasion.
Food for Thought is brought to you by Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now in Londonderry. And Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company. It's 1:30, 107.7 WTPL. It's The Pulse. Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin in the studio at 814 Beacon Street. I'm sorry, 814 Elm Street. It's the Beacon Building in downtown Manch Vegas.
Manch Vegas. I love that. All right, and let's welcome on Steve Freeman, our segment, Wake the Health Up America. And what do you have on tap for us today? I think you said something about what you ate last night.
Last night's dinner was all fresh local garden greens from a great healthy salad. And just for the record, it's Manchattan.
Oh, Manchattan, it is.
I never heard that.
We're moving into a trendier place.
Oh,
has more staying power than Vegas.
Yeah, the casinos have all shut down there on South Elm. So, I love
that.
Manchattan, very nice. So is it up there with the best of the salads you've had this year?
It was the best salad I've had this year, and it was actually I eat a lot of my dinners are a complement of salads and proteins and nuts and all kinds of other things that. As I've said before, I don't recall why I put quinoa on my salad, but it's good, or hemp seeds. And last night's salad was fresh organic romaine lettuce from Dunbarton, New Hampshire, tomatoes from Henniker, New Hampshire, cucumbers, same farm in Dunbarton, and olive oil and balsamic vinegar. That's it. But because they were fresh and local, the lettuce was crispy. It was absolutely delicious. The tomatoes actually tasted like tomatoes, like you grew up in a like you had from your parents' garden as a child. And what I wanted to talk about is why the flavors of summer taste so good. And corn. Corn is coming up. That's the other thing.
Yeah, that's coming up soon, right? Yeah.
It's
middle to the end of August, right?
I had some fresh corn from Western Massachusetts last week, a little bit south of us, so I think it's coming this way. It might actually be out. I haven't paid that much attention to corn. I just don't eat a lot of it, I guess.
Well, I wondered about that because there's a farm stand I go to in Windham, which is it's pretty small, it's modest. But I said, you got an awful lot of stuff here. You haven't grown all this corn. No, some of it comes, but it's all nearby farm. So to answer that question, I doubt there's a whole lot of New Hampshire corn getting ready, but maybe down in the Monadnocks or down in the Connecticut River Valley.
Sure.
Because, I mean, they grow tobacco, for heaven's sakes, in Springfield and in Connecticut. So maybe the warmth or whatever is bringing it on early.
I think that's the case, and we'll see it popping here in a couple of weeks, I believe. And I stopped by a farm stand last week, too, and I said, all this grows on your farm? I said, this is some stuff that I don't think grows. And they said, no, but we do our best to, you know, get it from New England farmers. So
yeah, that counts.
Yes, it absolutely.
If you want to have some variety.
It does. Otherwise, you have a farm stand with six things on it.
Yeah,
which is a problem. So I want to talk about, you know, why the flavors of summer taste so good and why a tomato that you're getting from your garden today tastes like tomatoes that I remember as a kid. And also talk about why, you know, France and Italy, they've been revered for the food is just out of this world delicious. And it's really quite simple why those parts of the world are critically acclaimed for their food. Everything you eat when you travel in Italy was raised and produced like within a 100-mile radius. So they've just been practicing local for centuries.
Do they have a 12-month growing season for tomatoes in much of Italy, I wonder?
In the northern part, they do.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
The southern part. Okay.
The southern part. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. The those world famous tomatoes that are in the San Marzano region.
Okay.
Yeah. Those. Again, I'm not an expert on that, but they do. And also here in New Hampshire or in New England, there's a couple of really incredible growers in Vermont that grow tomatoes year round. I've actually been using their tomatoes a lot in the winter from Winter's Farmers Market, and I'm completely blown away by what a tomato can taste like in the middle of winter. And the tip I want to share with people is I've asked restaurants about this, too, is you always get boxes of tomatoes. They're hard as apples.
Mm-hmm.
But because of your rotation, you don't have enough room. So what I've learned is never refrigerate a tomato. Tomatoes should never be refrigerated. You're killing the lycopenes and antioxidants of it. So I've changed the way I eat tomatoes. So when I cut into a tomato, I plan on making it disappear. Much like a pint of Häagen-Dazs. I don't try to save it for later, because tomatoes have a very short shelf life once you've cut into it. I put it face down on a plate, but I've noticed within a day or two it doesn't look so edible. So I just make the tomato disappear by putting the whole thing in my salad.
You know, there really is nothing like a fresh homegrown tomato with a little salt, pepper on it, a little olive oil drizzled on it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can taste it right now.
It's
yum.
It's one of the best flavors in the world it I've
is.
Ever had, and it's you can't simulate that in a California organic field or in Italy or whatever. I'm sure the tomatoes in Italy taste incredible when you're there also. So when it comes fall and winter and you're out of fresh local tomatoes and you have to move to conventional or regionally grown, keep them out on your counter for about a week until they get soft and plump. That's when they're ready to eat. Most tomatoes that are grown for transport and shipping, which I've talked about. So when you take it home and you bite it, you're not eating a tomato. You're eating something that was grown to resemble a tomato, but was really engineered so that it would travel well and take refrigeration well.
And would stay pretty.
And stay pretty. That's a whole nother segment on how to start buying the ugly foods. So when it's wintertime and you're craving your summer tomatoes, leave your tomatoes out on the counter and let them ripen on your windowsill for about a week. They start getting firm, cut into them and use them.
Now, what about heirloom tomatoes? I mean, you know, like I go into Fresh Market and I see heirloom tomatoes. Talk to me about heirloom tomatoes.
I believe, like the word local and organic and natural, it's being abused right now because heirloom is a cliche word. So I can't verify what heirloom tomatoes are at the store.
Well, they're usually all funky colors.
Yeah, they're funky colors and they're ugly.
They are ugly.
They're big. So heirloom tomatoes are typically traditionally handed down seed to seed to seed. The farmer saves his seeds every year. There's a farmer in Manchester at the farmer's market where I got tomatoes from last week. And I said, what are they? They're an odd color red. They're very soft. They're low acidity. And they're absolutely delicious. This guy's like in his 80s. And he said, my grandfather started this seed. And we've been saving it. So that's what a true heirloom is. Okay. Is where you save the seeds at the end of the year. Save them in your seed storage bin, whatever that thing is. And then you replant them and you never alter it. So it's the same strain of that tomato just grown.
Over and over.
But can it be cross-pollinated by bees and everything else? Couldn't that change the makeup of it?
Yeah, sure it does. Right. I think that's the natural evolution
maybe,
of it.
Exactly. So maybe that's how it gets a little different look than it was, say, 75 years ago. It's, you know, hundreds of dozens of years of possible cross-pollination.
I think over time, science and good farming practices have changed how we grow things. If you looked at the first watermelon, it was not very pretty. It was not very edible. So farmers have tinkered in a nice way to make the food more palatable and, you know, more friendly to farm with. The original carrots were incredibly inedible, and they were actually blues and greens. Somewhere in the 1700s, I think it was Sweden that developed the orange carrot, and it had a peel. So 95% of carrots on the market are orange.
Didn't know that.
But the healthiest carrots are the darker the color in carrots, the healthier they are.
Interesting, because we went to a little farmer stand, as I mentioned, the same one yesterday, and there was a bin of all these different colored carrots. So we just scored a whole bunch of them, and we're going to have them tonight.
And sometimes you can get them like that at Market Basket, too.
Red
They're purple and
they're starting to come into vogue now, and that's awesome. There's this farm stand off the coast of Maine I've traveled many times too. They sell this carrot. I had to buy it. It was called Purple Haze. I'm like, what is it? It's a purple carrot. You cut into it. It's red and it's like a rainbow of colors throughout it, and it had incredible flavor. So farmers have tinkered along the way so they get a better yield for their crop. And then science since the 70s or 80s has really intervened to not cross-pollinate, but whatever the word is for GMOs.
Hybridize or...
I think those are good farming terms. It's where they take, you know, the DNA of cold fish and and put it into a cucumber so a cucumber can grow in January frost. That's the stuff that I don't... I'm not a big fan of, but the farmer cross-pollination is part of life. It's made a better plant, a better crop for all of us to enjoy.
I want to get back to tomatoes for a second. I know you may have met her, Marianne Esposito, who is the host of Ciao Italia and has been on PBS for years and years. She told me that as soon as the last tomato was harvested, you know, out of her garden, she just doesn't buy them, you know, locally or even, well, because you can't get them for the most part. But you just said something about a guy that grows really good ones all winter long in Vermont. So how do you get them?
They sell them at the co-op in Concord, and they sell them at Winter's Farmers Market at Cole Gardens in Concord, which I'll give them a plug. It is one of the best any season farmers market I've ever been to. Every time I go to Cole Gardens on Saturdays in the winter, I'm blown away by this is what's growing in New England in the middle of winter, hydroponically, greenhouses, hoop houses, things of that sort. I think it's called Long Wind Farm. He's been, you know, calibrating his tomatoes for years. He's figured out how to grow them indoors, and it's actually a tomato, the first tomato I've tried worth buying in the middle of winter. And as I said, I buy it, I wait for it to turn ripe before I crack into it. And
that's a good tip. That is a good tip. You know, I like that, keeping it out and having it sit.
Yep, it's absolutely what makes a tomato way better. And I like eating tomatoes year round. And that goes back to, you know, watermelon in January. It's at the grocery store. And again, it goes back to your summer. You know, I go back to my childhood often is, you know, I waited for watermelon to come out of the ground as a kid because as a kid, things were different, I think, back in the 70s. You couldn't afford watermelon year-round, or it wasn't in the grocery store. I don't know. I wasn't a consumer back then. But I just knew it was a limited window where we'd have fresh corn, garden fresh tomatoes, cucumbers, all those wonderful foods. And it goes back to we need to get back to eating within our season. Just because it's available year-round doesn't mean it's good for you or it's properly grown or we should eat it. And it circles back again to the local food movement. The reason why these tomatoes and cucumbers and watermelon and lettuces why they taste so good when they're fresh from the ground is because you'll never find a better tasting food than something that was grown locally, because this is the environment your body is acclimated to. That's why local honey is one of the best things you can consume on a daily basis. The environment you live in has pollinated how you react to the change of seasons, the pollen, allergies, and the local food is the best way to build up your immunity in a broad sense.
Wow, I've never heard that description of it before.
It's absolutely why
very harmonious.
Local food tastes so good. It's because it's of your DNA.
It's what you're breathing.
Makes sense.
Right.
It does. Yeah, I'd never heard
that before.
I've
never heard it that way either, yeah, but it makes sense.
Somebody in Londonderry whose house I drive by every day, and they've got 7 or 8 or 10 containers of honey, and it's one of those, just go up, get it, ring the doorbell, pay for them, and it's all produced, and the beehives are in Londonderry, and I see all different colors, too, as I drive by. It's not all just one color, so I'm going to guess it has a lot to do with the flowers that are being,
absolutely, right? The flowers are fruits and vegetables that the bees are pollinating, which, by the way, bees pollinate one-third of what we consume.
And let's hope it continues that way with the colony collapse disorder. I'm hearing there's more and more people getting into beekeeping as perhaps a way to help keep that at bay, because it's an extremely serious issue.
I've seen a lot of reports and things online on what our food would look like if we did not have bees to pollinate, and it's really amazing what they do for the planet. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly amazing.
They work cheap too. I like that about
them. Yeah, they're very efficient. They're very efficient, and they can only work, I don't know what the temperature range is, but they have a limited range.
Yes.
Where they're productive, and it's like, yeah, below 60, they're done.
We had a beekeeper on early on, and it was really interesting. It'd probably be interesting to have her back, because she was pretty cool.
It's like backyard chickens. I think beekeeping has become very vogue.
You hear it a lot.
It's very easy, and it's rewarding.
Shaker Village actually does some classes on beginning beekeeping.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not sure what time of the year they do it, but I think...
I can ask Chef Patrick. He would know
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a break. Okay. You're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 The Pulse, and we are in studio with Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America. We're talking about eating fresh fruits and vegetables from your area just during the season that you're supposed to eat it. And it just all makes sense. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Monday, Healthy Monday, and we are in our segment with Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America, talking about seasonal vegetables and fruits and all that. And like we were saying, there's just nothing like a nice slicing into a fresh tomato. Oh, I love that. And like you said, slice it and eat the whole thing.
It's like 60 calories. Don't feel guilty about it.
Exactly.
Save the pint of Häagen-Dazs for dessert.
That's funny. Yeah, you talked a little bit about the farmer's market access in Concord. I'm sure you know that the one in Tilton, the winter market, is not going to be where it was because they lost the space. The person that owns the building is going to be leasing it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking tomorrow with Joan O'Connor, the Tilton Winter Farmers Market, because she'd like to get the word out that Manchester would probably be a good home for the farmers market.
Awesome.
Without skipping a beat this winter.
I would love that.
And the reason is because the farmers and the all the people in agriculture need to plan as far as breeding their animals,
yeah,
or whatever they're planting or producing. They need to know that now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the winter farmers market, I'm going to guess, opens, what, November maybe?
Yeah, right around Columbus Day, I think they start
opening.
So
it's a big deal. So we hope to help them at least get the word out tomorrow.
It is a huge deal, and you can't just change things because somebody requested, 20 head of cattle. It is a planning process.
Right.
And it's a long-term planning process. It's a couple years out sometimes with some animals and crops.
All right, so we've got tomatoes that we know we love. I'm trying to think about my backyard. All the herbs and spices are doing really well.
Great.
But I don't have the kind of space to grow cucumbers or pumpkins or watermelons. So what are good things that you can grow, say, in containers for people in condos that don't have access to lots of real estate?
In my opinion, herbs are the best thing to add to your diet because it's a world of flavor. It's a dollar per plant sort of thing. It's very
easy
low
to grow for the most part.
And you go out, you clip a few leaves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small small change to your habit. Every time I buy fresh herbs at the farmer's market, grocery store, whatever, I can't use them all. No matter how much I plan to, I can't use them all.
That's true.
I actually have talked to the board of directors of the co-op that can we have a sort of, not a pick your own, but take the portion you want and pay for it by the pound. Because even the small little 1 ounce portions, that's a lot of basil for guy to use. And, you know, dry them out. Yeah, sure. So grow your own, which I have. I have 7 or 9 herbs in my front yard right now. I cut what I want, clip what I want. I use what I want. It's zero waste, and the plant continues to grow. And when fall comes around, then I'll make a mass drying process out of it. So herbs, a tomato plant's easy enough in a pot. Pepper's not too bad. Cucumber, you can't do. Squash.
No, I spread out all over the place.
A couple of lettuces you can do. There's actually, I can't remember the name, but they approached the co-op, so I have it somewhere. There's this vertical growing thing that you hang like a hook off your roof line or your eave line, and the water trickles from pot to pot, but it only takes up like the size of a paper towel roll, you know, in a 6-foot vertical thing. And it grows on all these little chain pots. I'll try and dig it up somewhere.
Interesting. Yeah,
that is.
It's a vertical garden, and you can divert the water from your rain leader to irrigate it. But it's a great space saver, and you put it obviously if you have a south facing roof line, which most places do, unless you're, you know, a condo that only has one side facing north or whatnot. But that's a great alternative, and I think, you know, the local hardware stores, Home Depots probably have these things in the garden section.
Yeah, they must. I think I've seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of these things coming to market. You know, home gardening, home farming is really taking off. Chickens, bees. I don't know what's next. I still predict that insects are going to become part of our staple.
Oh, they definitely will. And I just saw a piece yesterday about this place that's making fraps out of crickets.
Come on.
Yeah. But, I mean, they ground them they pulverize them into powder. So you'd look at it and say, well, is that, you know, whey or is that, you know, protein powder or is that crickets? I would definitely try that. I mean, it's not like you're going to swallow a nasty cricket leg. You know, that's not how it works.
But if it was dipped in chocolate, you probably wouldn't mind.
Well, yeah, I would try it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I've not tried it, but I would.
And they're very economical.
Will the co-op carry chocolate-covered crickets?
I've pushed for it. I think
No way.
It's a very low carbon footprint, sort of green farming method to raise insects, and they're an incredible powerhouse of protein.
Yeah.
And all these other things.
It's going to be a tough sell, though.
It will be a tough sell.
To the American public.
But we talk about, for the Manchester Food Co-op, you know, maybe having a salad bar, an olive bar, and I said, I want an insect bar.
Oh.
I really do.
I can just picture that.
Crunchy crickets for your salad topper or grass
croutons.
Croutons.
Low carbon footprint croutons. I love that.
You know, some of us have trouble with that, right? I mean, I used to be a chef, and I'd get whole, you know, fillets of salmon, and I'd be like, trying to cut the head off it. I just don't have a stomach for it, but I would deal with it. But again, here in America, we tend to eat the best selection, if you will. There's that's why I love, we have such a diversity of ethnic restaurants here in Manchester. And you go to especially the South American, Latin American restaurants, and they use cuts of pork and beef that you just don't see at the grocery store. And it's some of the best food I've ever had here in the city. You got to kind of let your friends take you out and don't tell you, just try it sort of thing. And then you realize, I just had crickets for my main dinner. It wasn't so bad. I want some chocolate brownies made with, you know, grasshoppers.
Well, let me ask you this. By definition of vegan eating, would a cricket be vegan? Because it had eyes.
Cricket has a lot of eyes. So yeah. No, I don't think it would be vegan.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But you're off the hook, Carol. You don't have to have any.
I'm not a vegan, so I wouldn't know. I tend to eat everything, which is part of my problem. But what I wanted to talk about is that salad. Okay, so I went to a couple farmers market just because it's summertime, and I kind of like to see what's coming out of the farmers markets and what's coming out of the ground locally. And I always will point back to the Manchester Food Co-op or the other co-ops around the communities or around the state, is that is the best place to go to when you don't have time to chase a farmer's market or a farm stand, is go to your local co-op wherever you are, find a co-op, because they typically have all these farmer we call it a year-round farmer's market, the Manchester Food Co-op. So you can just go there and get what you need without having to traipse around town.
Well, we know that the co-op isn't open yet. It's not built. There's still a few hurdles to go through. But within a short period of time, you may have some news that would interest people, right?
Always, yes. We're working on our letter of intent for one of our prime sites. We hope to have an announcement before the leaves turn.
I like that. The turning of my house already, so I want news. Thank you, Steve Freeman.
Thank you.
All right. Food for thought. And Kale and Company's up next. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.